Thank you. I really appreciate being here tonight. It's truly an honor. I was going to motion over there to Marvel, but Marvel has disappeared, so I'll motion over here. Really appreciate Marvel calling me and inviting me. It was a surprise, but I thank you for inviting me. It's truly an honor. I'm about to tell you a story about a chapter of my life. It involves doctors and lawyers, a baby girl named Lacey, and a box of candy hearts. This story covers about 15 years of my life. It's the story of my journey through infertility. Now, I know that in a group this size, it's a bunch of church ladies, when I say the I word, when I said infertility, there's bound to be somebody in here that's kind of motion or moving their hand through the bag, like her. She's going for her little bottle of anointing oil. But I want you to know that I'm good. Just in case you're trying to find yours. Now, all jokes aside, infertility is a tough subject. It's tough to talk about, tough to live through, tough to know somebody who's living through it. I know that firsthand. I came from a long line of fertile women. My grandmother, May Liz, had 12 children. My mother was her firstborn. My grandmother, Odell, Grandma O, had 10 children. My dad was her seventh child. My parents married and raised a small family of four girls, and I'm number three. At 18, I went off to college, NC State, go Wolfpack, and I studied engineering. Now I'm going to fast forward through all of the drafting tables and square roots and Bernoulli's equations to 1991 when I married my dear Claude, and some of you have met him or you know him. We married at 25. We were both virgins and still foolish and crazy enough to think that we could make a good beginning while still in grad school. We didn't have much money. In fact, between the two of us, we brought home about $18,000 a year. Last time I checked, that was below poverty level. We didn't have any health insurance. And every time my period was just a little bit late, I panicked. What if I'm pregnant? And then my period would come, and I would say a little prayer, thanking God that I wasn't pregnant. My whole outlook was about to change. A friend asked me to babysit her little girl, little Lacey. Now, babysitting that little toddler opened up a new door inside my heart that I had no idea was there. I had babysat before. That was one way that I brought in a few extra dollars. So I knew the whole routine about diapering and feeding and playing with a toddler. But it was something about that little girl, those cute, chubby limbs and those big eyes. God used little Lacey to start me on a new path. Overnight, I began seeing our family of two in a different way. I went from dreading being pregnant to longing to have a child. I started taking my Women's Day magazines and clipping out the advertisements of the babies, and the diaper advertisements and the formula advertisements, and I would put the pictures on my fridge, hoping that my husband would notice. And I didn't stop there. I started naming the babies. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12. Months passed by. No cute little baby bump. just a fridge full of other people's babies. My heart was sick. Why didn't God bless us? We had saved ourselves for marriage. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Life had to go on despite my inner struggles. I graduated, got a job with the state, finally had health benefits, and I started volunteering more in the community. My husband and I joined God's work at Building Together Ministries, which until last year was an inner city ministry in Raleigh, serving the Halifax court community. One of our first duties was youth ministers, or youth workers, rather. No surprise there. And then on the heels of the Rodney King verdict, Building Together had started a racial reconciliation ministry. And my husband and I were drafted to be co-leaders with that ministry. And we did that for about 10 years, basically leading discussion groups, which we called supper clubs, once a month. After a while, we